Best Sports Talk. Injury List.
That's right. It is Injury List. And I see that the anticipation is massive every time Zach Van Heerden's name is mentioned on the show, because the messages come streaming and even before the man enters the building. But fortunately, he is in front of me. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to have you here tonight. I see you've picked up an injury of your own.
Yeah, a little scratch in my eye from a bit of dirt, so no comment. It's really not that bad, but I'm mocking it, obviously. It's a big red eye.
Oh, shame. Yeah, no, it is there. And I only mention this because you usually have a great training tip, so I was wondering if you weren't following your training tip of the week.
Yeah, just when there's dust around and wind, just look after your eyes. They're quite important. Take them for granted, and then, yeah, anyway.
It's been a massive injury week in European football, and this week Champions League kicks off, so it's it's an even bigger week in European football. We've just heard Firas Patel speaking of the fact that Wolves will be in Champions League action. Tell me about all these piles and piles of injured players.
There's lots of them. I think maybe we just start with the FIFA week curse, because the FIFA week's just come and gone. And obviously with Champions League, you know, just a couple of days later, you look at teams like Man City, who, you know, it's a tricky one because a lot of their players have been on international duty, played two games in a week, and then a Premier League game on the weekend, and then straight into Champions League duty on Tuesday and Wednesday. And, you know, a surprise to see them lose to Norwich, but also kind of understandable because you've got to juggle your resources. So Man City lost. Atletico Madrid, who were leading La Liga, also lost this weekend. Kaiser Chiefs back at home. We saw Ernst Bendorp maybe losing it a bit with Kamal Bilyat, him playing 90 minutes for Zimbabwe in that Crunch World Cup qualifier for them. But then to come back and then maybe not be on top form, you know, not having had full match fitness, and then Chiefs gone to lose 1-0 to Polokwane City. So it's tricky times for managers and players alike. And then in terms of the injuries, Champions League obviously kicking in. We've seen Neymar's available at long last. I don't know if you saw yesterday's news. Neymar back in the squad, started the game. Every time he touched the ball for the first half, it was like he was an opposition player. Getting booed and whistled.
We expected that.
Of course we did. And then he popped up in the 92nd minute, bicycle kick, acrobatic finish to win the game for PSG.
Fairy tale return for
lukewarm celebration, I think, for the supporters. Like, we won, but he scored.
Yes, exactly.
But let's see if he can. Yeah, I think a performance like that from him, or moments like that from him, he shows what he's worth, and hopefully he can sort of rekindle their love for him.
I mean, he's such a good player. It really is sad to not be able to witness his skill week in and week out. We want to see Neymar play.
Oh, especially that. And there were a few moments earlier in the game as well. You know, he's sort of back to his classic best, taking on defenders and leaving them in his way kind of thing. He created quite a few opportunities for them, which I think maybe they've been lacking at times. Also understanding that they're missing Mbappe and Cavani at the moment. And from an injury front, let's talk about that. They're going into Champions League, big game at home against Real Madrid. Neymar available, but Mbappe and Cavani out, along with two or three others carrying minor knocks. Not as influential. I think they can cover that, but that's a difficult loss for them. Real themselves have got some problems. Modric, talisman, Ballon d'Or winner, he's out with a groin problem, along with Isco with a hamstring problem. Hazard and James are back, so whether they play full game, that we'll see. Hazard has not played full 90 minutes as yet. And James has been out for about 3 weeks with a calf problem. And also he returned recently on loan from Bayern Munich. So let's see how they slot them in.
Mr. Rodriguez himself. Let's move it over to the rugby world. We are waiting in anticipation and, bated breath. Another 5 days or so and then the World Cup kicks off. We still have a bit of a cloud hanging over our head regarding some scandals in South Africa.
Yeah, so even Etzebeth, obviously, still that one. I think that's going to drag on through the World Cup and beyond. So hopefully it doesn't affect his game or the Springboks' performance. We wish them all the best. But at the same time, obviously, if there are issues, that kind of thing, hopefully get dealt with correctly. On the playing side, Trevor Nyakani, who flew home after a small knock against that Japan friendly. I think he made 14 minutes. We spoke about last week. He's returned after the birth of his child. But let's see if he's ready for big games. It's not like they're starting off against Samoa or a small country. They're playing against All Blacks in the first game.
An important game.
Yeah, and he needs to be on top form with his recent injury issues, and also the jet lag. I think people forget about the jet lag. Japan is many time zones away, and that's a good nine time zones, 9 days to adjust and 9 days to adjust back. So he's flown here, body started adjusting, flown back again. So his body must be in a bit of turmoil. So hopefully all the best in terms of his preparation. And New Zealand, big news today was Sonny Bill Williams.
Yes.
There's something happening. No one knows what it is. All Blacks media crowd are denying that there's anything wrong.
The calf injury, so to speak, by SBW.
But yeah, he's had that for a while. So he had three of those during the Super Rugby season. So this is another one. If there's another one, no one really knows.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a big loss to a World Cup. But I wouldn't mind is if he maybe missed the first game. That would be great for us, wouldn't it? He's out for the first game and can come back later on.
Look, I'm kind of in two about that because in two minds, because Sonny Bill hasn't been his best of late.
Okay, true. Fair enough.
We know when he's absolutely dangerous and he can switch it on just like that. Apparently, Ngani Lamape, other whispers that he might be being called up, but more All Blacks injuries as well. Luke Jacobson.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, there's a whole lot. I mean, we spoke, I think a couple of months ago where they had 11 players out. They're sort of down to about six at the moment.
Yeah.
And he's another one. To be honest, not 100% sure of the exact injury, but we can look into that as we go. But I think as this World Cup goes on, we're going to see, you know, more and more players obviously succumbing. Actually, not that many injuries at this stage for most of the big teams.
Yeah.
We've got one half injury really. New Zealand, aside from you know, new injuries that have occurred since their preparations, it's only really Sonny Bill Williams, who's would be a massive loss for them, I would expect. Ireland, who top ranked at the moment in world rugby, they've lost Robbie Henshaw with a hamstring problem. So
that's a big one.
The centre, and he sets up and creates a lot for them. So let's see how he'll miss the first game against Scotland more than likely, and hopefully comes back later in the tournament.
Still don't know how Ireland are the best team in the world, but that's a story for another
the numbers.
Day.
The numbers say.
Those are the numbers indeed. And then Roger Federer is sick and tired of people pointing fingers and accusing him of calling scheduling shots, getting games to favour him at times.
Yeah, so I mean, this has been going on. Actually, been going for years, where lesser ranked players have always looked at when games are played and that type of thing. And when Rafa finishes a game at 2 o'clock in the morning, or Federer finishes a game at 1 o'clock in the morning, there seems to be this scheduling change. There's a couple more hours added on, so they'll go from first up on centre court kind of thing to last on centre court, or even sometimes the games are moved from from this court to that court to accommodate them, supposedly. Federer, I think, has had his day with that one, and basically saying, "Look, guys, I'm not responsible for any of the scheduling. That's down to the authorities. It's down to the organisers. It's down to the management of the tournament as to when we play games. Not up to me."
Yeah. And then there were Russians that were cleared to compete ahead of the IAAF World Champs. We heard recently that Caster Semenya and Sunet Fulyun would be awarded medals from 2011 because of Russians who cheated, or who doped rather, let me not say cheated. But now there's a couple of them who will be taking part.
Yeah, so I mean, the Russian issue has been running for what, two and a half years now, where their WADA accredited laboratories were effectively shut down. Massive doping scandal within Russia where they were through supposedly, and I can take out the word supposedly, but with government interference in terms of manipulation of test results, of samples, so urine samples going missing or being replaced, and A samples and B samples not matching up, and all kinds of stuff going on, basically to facilitate Russian athletes to cheat in terms from a doping point of view. And as you remember, a lot of the athletes were barred from Olympic Games because of this, and a small number who were able to prove their innocence, and who were fully compliant with all doping procedures in the 3 years preceding that Olympics were allowed to compete, but basically in white jerseys. So, as internationals, non-international athletes, effectively, obviously results stand. So, with the World Champions coming up, they've got 11 who are completing as neutrals, effectively. I mean, good news for athletics. You want your top athletes available, but you want them not to be under the doping cloud.
So the ban on Russia remains. It's just that they will be, as they were at the Olympic Games, competing as neutrals.
Well, effectively, they're not completely banned, but individual athletes under suspicion have been basically placed on a watch list or blacklist and not able to compete in competitions of this nature until their names have been cleared. And really, the onus is on those athletes to have their names cleared.
Yeah.
They need to provide all evidence, in terms of dope testing that they've done, particularly over the last 3 years or so. Well, you run the risk of what's happened with Caster and picking up more medals like in absentia, effectively.
Yeah,
way back from 2011, because more athletes have been found to have doped at that time.
Let's talk about Anthony Joshua and his concussion.
Yeah, so recent fight with him and his trainer Rob McCracken basically came out and said, I saw he was concussed and I saw he had a problem, but I needed to sort of coax him through the last few rounds, you know, trying to get the win. Jeez. And obviously he's taking huge flack, obviously with all the...
I would imagine.
All the issues with concussion and through not just boxing, but through all the sports, likes of cricket with Phil Hughes and Steve Smith recently getting hit in the back of the head and all that kind of thing. Concussion is a hot topic and athlete safety is so important. So for a top trainer in the boxing world to come out and say... Yeah, so I endorse my fighter carrying on with concussion as opposed to throwing the towel and ending the fight. He's taking a lot of flack because of that.
I mean, it essentially is him chasing money, you would think.
Yeah, look, I think it's very difficult. You know, it's also the thing is, how do you detect concussion, to be honest? You know, as a trainer as opposed to a medical professional, I think maybe what he should have done, he should have, you know, some sort of advice ringside. You know, there are medical teams right there.
Yeah,
I suspect there's something wrong with my fighter. Yeah. Can you have a look? No, he didn't really. He sort of took the law effectively into his own hands, where he's not a medical practitioner and he can't make those decisions. And medical practitioners, we struggle with that. We struggle with diagnosing and detecting concussion. You know, you go to any athlete in the heat of battle and say, are you okay? Are you concussed?
Yeah.
He might be seeing triple vision, never mind double vision. Yeah. Is he going to tell you if
he's
thinks
gonna say he's okay?
Yeah. And obviously, with the blood pumping and the adrenaline going through the body, and athletes are trained. They're trained to continue almost like regardless of pain and discomfort and all those kind of things. So, and a little knock to the head. You know, symptoms, the headache, you're going to carry on.
For me, I remember being concussed in a rugby match twice in the same game.
And did you know? That's the thing.
I did, but they did the concussion test and I knew what day it was. And the questions were so easy. I just...
You memorized this before, didn't you? You studied for your concussion test.
Exactly. And I got 100% for it, essentially. But the point is that, as you're mentioning, athletes are trained for this kind of stuff. But... maybe athletes should be coached about how important this is. And I know it's very hard to get past that adrenaline rush and look past it, which does bring me to my next question. And it sort of works into your training tip of the week. It's a question from a listener that says, hi, Butler, please ask Zach van Heerden the following two questions for me, please. For boxers and MMA fighters, can endurance workouts make them less likely to get knocked out and concussed? And generally, what's the fastest way for one to get fit?
Well, the first question is absolutely no link between endurance training or any form of fitness level and an athlete being knocked out. So there's no link whatsoever. I mean, I think, but if you were to exclude, say, the headshot, so the headshot, no difference. But obviously from a fatigue point of view, where your fighter might be getting sapped and drained from the body shots effectively, that might drop their defense and might mean a larger strike to the head. So the reality is if you are less fit, you are more likely to be knocked out. But there's you can't prevent that by endurance training effectively. Mm. So hopefully that answers that question. And in terms of getting fit, I think it's hard work. There are no shortcuts. I think where a lot of people go wrong with training is they look for shortcuts. What's the quickest way to get fit?
Yeah.
There is no quick way. And normally the best way is actually the long way. Yeah. It's to take your time, train responsibly, train scientifically. Don't just look at the training itself and how hard you can work, how much pain you can put yourself through. Actually be smart about what you're doing.
Because that's what people generally do. Yeah. Try to put themselves through as much pain as possible, as quickly as possible, and they'll get as fit as possible in the shortest amount of time.
And very often you actually don't achieve peak fitness by doing that. So you actually burn out, you get overtrained, you pick up all kinds of injuries and issues just from that massive load of training that you're going through. So my advice would be take your time. You know, avoid the shortcut, do it properly. And I think the other thing is also to try and then maintain your fitness. We always talk about off-season and pre-season, these kind of things with the football leagues and the rugby leagues and all these kind of things as the year goes on. With athletes involved in sports like boxing and swimming and running where you don't have competitions week in, week out, it's actually very difficult to keep your fitness level up. You know, so you actually need to prepare for a fight or an event or a competition. And as soon as possible, you need to get back on the wagon and keep that fitness level up. Recover properly first, but then keep working to keep your fitness going. Don't end up in the situation where you're looking for shortcuts and quick fixes.
Because you know you were fit and now you just want to get back there again.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes that's where the doping comes from.
Yes.
Because athletes get desperate because they need 2 weeks more than they actually have. And sometimes there's that incentive to try and take a tablet or a pill or an injection or whatever it is just to fast track things. Never works out well.
So what is your tip?
So my training tip is around Anthony Joshua and the concussion incident. Another one. I think I have many training tips on concussion.
Heart attacks and concussions.
Exactly. If something goes wrong while you're competing, I think, you know, as you were saying, as an athlete, I think athletes need to take that responsibility. Yeah. A concussion is very difficult. It's very, very hard for even the athlete to pick up. I mean, to know if you're concussed or not. Sometimes you know. You've taken a huge blow. You're not really in control of your body. But the reality is the trainers and the medical personnel will probably see that before you did. It's very difficult to sort of almost acknowledge it. But if something goes wrong during competition, you know, do the wise thing. There's always another race. There's always another fight. There's always another event. There's always another long cut to training that you can take in a couple months' time. Mm. You know, it's all in your best interest just to, you know, pull the ripcord and let the parachute take you out of there.
Thank you so much, Zach van Heerden. It was a pleasure talking to you on the show. We'll see you again on Sunday.
Thank you.